Now let's prepare to hear from what the Holy Spirit would share with us. If you're new with us this morning, as a communicator of the Word of God, it's important for you to understand our approach to His messages to us found in this wonderful book we call the Bible. He wants us to understand what those to whom these letters, books, were originally written, to understand what they would have understood from God the Holy Spirit. And then, what is the Holy Spirit saying to us in the 21st century as we learn first century lessons? Our approach is to look at Scripture grammatically and historically. So in your worship guides, you have maps to be able to unpack passages as we move along, see where these individuals and what these places, where they may have been. I want so much for you to understand that the Word of God is not a lot of print on pages, but it is a wonderful statement. Every word there is God-breathed. It comes from the very mouth of our Heavenly Father through His Holy Spirit to others who wrote these down for us that we might be changed, that we might find ourselves in the end as followers of the Lord, being conformed to His wonderful image, seeing His character being born out in us. And as we looked at John Chow this morning, one of the first things we were learning as we were doing this recap in chapter 11 is that it is our responsibility to pursue and to preach, to teach, to give testimony to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I thank the one, two, or three of you who shared the gospel last week and placed these three white roses up here this morning. You keep doing that, please. I also want to extend my thanks to each of you who were at the Walk for Life yesterday. If there is another ministry that saves lives, leads mothers and their partners to faith in Christ, it's Open Arms. So thank you very much, those of you who were there. Our Lord thanks you very much for what you're doing on His behalf. So join me, if you would, there on the bottom of page 6 of your notes. We're going to look at verses 19 through 21 and then move on. The text tells us, the Holy Spirit speaking to you and to me this morning, He says, now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. And you can see all that on page 1 of your notes in the map. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, also preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. Love that. A great number turned to the Lord upon hearing the gospel of our Lord Jesus. After the martyrdom of Stephen in Jerusalem, this young man, very much, I'm thinking, like John Chow, Saul's persecution of the church had scattered the believers in various directions, as you saw there in these verses. For the most part, these Jewish Christians, remembering the first church was all Jewish, these Jewish Christians were taking the gospel to their kinsmen, not to Gentiles, non-Jews. They had this bigotry towards non-Jews. And that was all going to be corrected by the wonderful encounter they would have when they came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, received the character of Christ, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the self-control, the humility and the meekness and the forgiving spirit, the coming alongside others and helping them. As this was given birth into each of these Jewish believers' lives, their lives were changed. And as they shared the gospel, and this gospel could be seen being lived out in their lives, other people's lives were on the verge and began to be changed as well. You and I sit here this morning because one of those early folks shared the gospel with someone who shared that gospel with you. And that's why you're here in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm not saying all of you who are here are Christians. Some of you are here because you're probably not sure. Or some of you are here because someone invited you and you just couldn't say no to them. The Holy Spirit is very happy you're here. I'm happy you're here. I don't care why you're here. It's just great to know that you're here and you are going to hear the word of God today. Now, some, however, of these Christian Jewish people, they were not quite as discerning or discriminating. They were going and sharing the good news with whoever they could bend an ear. When I first came to faith in Christ, my whole family, with the exception of my mom and my brother Don, they had come to faith in Christ while I was away in the military and in the war. So now I've come to faith, and I can't keep the excitement in my life to myself. I'm sharing with everybody else in the family. Some of them are thinking, oh, no, here comes Ron again, because I thought everybody wanted to trust him as their Lord and Savior. But I had family members who are saying, Ron, we're so glad that you have found this and this is good for you, but we're not interested. Those are the words of one of my aunts, and it broke my heart at the time. It was the first person to turn me down. And I was a surfer back in the day, and I was sharing with every other surfer at Latigo Canyon, at County Line, at Malibu. You know, it was just something I had to do. I had the cure to cancer, sin. Sin that kills people and sends them to hell. And when you love people, you've got to share with them the cure. Give them the opportunity to go get the prescription filled so that they can be made well and be able to go one day to heaven and enjoy the Lord now. But coming back to our text, Luke identifies the more broad-minded Jews as you can see in your text, men of Cyprus, men of Cyrene. I'm going to give you a geography lesson so you know where that is, looking at map one in your notes. Cyprus is the homeland of Barnabas, this wonderful man, the son of encouragement. The island is a sizable island. I don't think it's quite as pretty as my Maui, but nonetheless, it is an island in the Mediterranean Sea off the coast of Syria. Cyrene lay on the coast of North Africa, about 500 miles west of Alexandria, Egypt. Syrian Antioch was a massive city. It was the third largest city in all of the Roman Empire, the first being Rome itself in population. The second was Alexandria, Egypt. My son-in-law, who many of you know, is Egyptian, an Egyptian Christian. not Coptic, but Christian, evangelical like us. And he says, you know more about my country than I do. I'm not an Egyptologist, but from a little kid, I don't know what it is. I had a bent towards wanting to know more about Egypt. So Syrian Antioch is this massive city, and it's filled with a huge Jewish population. And among the Jewish population, you have all of these members of the way, Christians, but we're not called Christians just yet. These members of the way, and the city, by and large, is Greco-Roman. Therefore, it is filled with lots of goyim, the non-Jews. And so these non-Jews, having such a huge population of Jewish and people of the way, the Jews and the Jews and the people of the way, they're monotheists. They believe in one God. And the Greco-Romans, these folks, they are polytheists. They believe in lots of gods. You've probably heard of Mars, the god of war. They believed in Diana and Zeus and Hades and Juno and Bacchus, as well as Venus and a whole host of other mythological gods and goddesses. And as a result of this audience, they were all familiar with, again, the Jews and these people of the way that are monotheists. So they have some interest in what is taking place in their city. If you look at verses 22 and 20 through 24, the report of this, of these people in Syrian Antioch coming to faith in Christ, as a report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, when he came and saw these people who have been obviously in their demeanor, the way they spoke, the way they acted, when he saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. It just warms me up. By the time news of the Gentile conversions filtered down from Judea, Caesarea Philippi, when Peter had led this Roman soldier and some of his soldiers under him, as well as his entire family, in the gospel to faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, as that information was going forth, instead of sending critics to scrutinize the work in Syrian Antioch, they sent the son of encouragement. I loved hearing from my brother this morning, my actual brother. All of you other guys are my brothers in the faith. But he was saying he liked pursuing this last week being a son of encouragement. He likes being an encourager. And I hope you all took advantage of what you have within you by way of the Holy Spirit to be encouragers to the people around you, where you work, where you live, your family, that you would be a Barnabas in the lives of the people around you. You see, we have learned that we are to be those that are out there preaching, teaching, and administering through testimony the gospel of our Lord. That was the first thing that he was teaching us. But now he is teaching us the character of Christ that has been born in each of us who are born again, born from on high, should be being manifested. And we have Barnabas here before us in this chapter again, because he's been in others. He's here for us to pursue becoming like him, more like him. So my question that I ask you, are you becoming more like Barnabas? Will people at home or at work or in your neighborhood say, my goodness, I just love seeing Mona coming down the street. I just love seeing Debbie when she shows up at the market. I just love seeing one of you because you're such an encourager. You're a blessing. The person's checking you out at the market and you're telling them, you know, God bless you. You're saying things to them. I really appreciate the way you never get it wrong. You always get it right. Maybe they don't, but you're trying to bless them. You want to be an encouragement to them. We are being called to this. These are the lessons that are before us in this passage, family. So you need to go to those three questions at the beginning of your message notes and do them honor. Ask them concerning yourself. So instead of sending critics to scrutinize, they said Barnabas. He was a perfect one for the job. He was from, as I just told you momentarily, from Cyprus. He was from this island where many of the Jewish evangelists were from. And his temperament predisposed him to welcome Gentiles into his presence and to share with them his testimony, how he came to faith in the Son of God, the Messiah. He's predisposed to just come along Gentiles and ask them in and make them feel comfortable, like some of you do. Judy Q, who's not here this morning, pray for Judy. You know of things that she has asked to be prayed for. Pray for her. But she's such a beautiful Barnabas. You know, if Satan wants to discourage anyone, it's Judy. But Judy, when she meets a newcomer here in the worship center, it's like when my other kid brother and his wife, you know, they haven't been here in years. And they aren't here today and they weren't here last week because financially, they're not very well off, and their car broke down, and the car was so old, you can't get parts for it, even from a junkyard. They need to somehow come up with the funds to be able to buy a well-running used car so they can come back. But they came to visit, and they loved you so very much. They appreciated being in your presence and his. And my brother, Scott, he gave his life to the Lord that first Sunday, you'll recall. And it was such a blessing to be a part of that. But the one thing that he and Mary so appreciated was Judy. Judy attached herself to them. She sat with them right there, the empty seats, right behind you, brother. They were sitting right there, and Judy was with them. It was like they had their own personal tour guide, you know, someone they could turn to and ask questions, and she could answer any and all of them. And there's my lovely Judy now.
Took my husband fishing, so he wouldn't
cry. Okay. So this is what she does. But not only does she do that, but Jackie Iasconi, she also will make the newcomer feel rich and like a part of us. They're not the newcomers, you know, and that everybody can see them. And she makes them feel comfortable. Other than me, she likes to pick on. But nonetheless, she does that for the newcomer. And Geraldine, yes. Boy, if you enter in here, you might feel like you're being attacked by this woman. But she just wants you to know, we're so glad you're here. And what can I tell you? How can I answer a question? Is there anything? And, you know, many of them are just probably going, who is this woman? But she's there to greet people, to be an encourager. Luke says, he was a good man, speaking of Barnabas. And he was good, meaning moral. He was a good moral man and full of the Holy Spirit, filled with his character qualities. You saw the fruit of the Spirit. You heard the fruit of the Spirit coming forth from this man, and full of faith, full of faith. And I'm already behind, otherwise I'd go and pull out a number of you, because that's the way you are. Upon his arrival, he saw authentic Christians very much in need of organization and training. Antioch was, after all, known for its pleasure centers. It was a den of iniquity, this third largest city. Some 5 miles away from the city, you had gardens, 3 gardens. And in the midst of those gardens rose up a temple to the Pythian god Apollo. And all kinds of visitors would go there to conduct their moral depravity. You know, one of the things about these monotheists, most of their gods had prostitutes. And it was no problem getting men to go to their churches because of the moral depravity. It's kind of like, I've given you some pictures there. You see that first picture. You know, you've got Roman columns. You've got these former deities with wings and with animal heads. Right over here in Las Vegas. Las Vegas is one of our moral depravity places to go. And many who claim to be Christians like to go there. As you look at this picture here of the great Sphinx, and behind it you have this pyramid. In that pyramid, you have many, many rooms. How does Pastor know that? Wouldn't you like to know? In 1994, you know that Kath and I have this timeshare. And one of the places that you can go is Las Vegas. Well, we were told in 1994, after that massive earthquake we had and the building out that we were doing here, that they have a place called the Polo Club. And it's a huge hotel, and so we thought we'd check it out, because we were also being told you had family entertainment in Las Vegas, and we would seek that out. We went to Circus Circus, and they had all of these games like you would see at a circus or a festival for children, and Ronnie was 14, and he was with us, and went and saw that. We went to the Caesar's Palace, and in there they had this theater in the round, and we watched this movie in a circle all around us about sharks. And one of the other hotels, they had a bunch of porpoise, and you could feed the porpoise, and you could watch them train. You could go down below, and in glassed-in windows, you could watch the porpoise in the water, going up outside the water, and so forth and so on. But we were bored after about the third day and would go home. But how do I know about the rooms there in the pyramid? Is that because they were running a thing on King Tut. They were having all of these, all of the treasure that they found in his tomb, but they weren't the actual things they found. There were replicas. And that was of interest to me. And so we went down the Nile River inside this place and so forth and saw all those things. And then went home. You see, I put those there because we have these pleasure centers right here. Right here. And we're to be people who are encouraging people in a right direction, not the wrong direction. We're to be these people sharing the good news about our Lord Jesus Christ. So Barnabas, he rejoiced at the sight of Father God's grace taking over the city, and he encouraged the new believers. That's what new Christians need, and that's what some older Christians need as well. Encouragement, lots of it, some of them. And wouldn't it be great to see thousands of people, as was taking place in Syrian Antioch, taking place right here in the San Fernando Valley. With the nearly 2 million people in this valley and only 7% are attending all religious things on the weekend. Only 7% family. 7%. The rest of them are, well, as Judy's saying, she's taking her husband fishing so that he won't drive. And other people are going to Disneyland. And other people, you know, we, during the week, need to be inviting these people who don't know the Lord to join us right here. I mean, are we vicious? No, we're just here loving on them. I'm here loving on you. I'm teaching the Word of God. It's safe. You know, you can do with it whatever you're going to do with it. Hopefully you're going to act on it, because that's why he gave it to us, to change our lives for his glory. But Christians, all Christians, especially the new Christians, need encouragement. And it wouldn't it be great if we could see the Center for Pornography to the whole world, the San Fernando Valley, changed for his glory and his honor? And it can be, folks. It can be. Would all of you put up your hand, please? All of you, just put up your hand. This is why it can be. Through you who put that hand up, okay? You can share the gospel. You can be the tool that the Holy Spirit uses to bring change into a person's life. Look at your notes here. Quote, how LA's Porn Valley became the adult entertainment capital of the world. We have Syrian Antioch, first century, right here, family. Only worse. Only worse. Only worse. You can look up this lady on Google, and you can read her articles, and it'll lead to other articles as well. The quote, San Fernando Valley, an out-of-the-way desert suburb of Los Angeles, came to be the porn capital of the world in the 1970s. Hugh Hefner was a part of it, end of quote. You know, Hugh, he had the Playboy Mansion. All the A-listers of Hollywood, they wanted to go there. For what reason? To watch television? To play games? No, they went there to have sex. They went there to be able to just do their own thing sexually. Be a part of the porn industry. You know, Hugh started Playboy magazine. Not only did he start that magazine, he started the Playboy clubs. You know, when I was in the Air Force, I had my own subscription, except for the 13 months I was away overseas, to Playboy. I mean, when I got out of the Air Force, I wanted to go to the Playboy club and in Hollywood. I wanted to go there and I was going to be Mr. Cool. You know, he had such an influence, and so can we through God the Holy Spirit in a reverse way, a godly way, on these people that are part of the porn industry. Look at your notes. Barnabas didn't draw out a list of do's and don'ts or mark up a local map with places to avoid around Antioch. He mainly encouraged. The verb is parakaleo. Here in our text in Greek is a multifaceted word that carries the idea of, and it's not where we got our word for parakeet. It's parakaleo, okay? And it stands for standing alongside, coming alongside someone, and you encourage them. It stands for what the Holy Spirit does. He comes into our lives. He never leaves us. He is with us always. He is the paraclete. He comes into our lives. The idea is of standing alongside someone in order to provide you counsel, courage, comfort, hope, the positive perspective. There are people who just walk around and they are the Eeyores of your life, right? And we can come alongside them and encourage them, give them hope, give them reason to be optimistic, be those people in their lives and give them a positive perspective. Like an athletic coach, an encourager challenges without condemning. We challenge, but without condemning. Instructs without lecturing. Inspires without condescending. And helps another toward excellence. Excellence. We can't get to perfection this side of heaven, but we can pursue excellence. Every one of us. We have the Holy Spirit. We have supernatural power within us to pursue this excellence. Barnabas, like a coach, encouraging and challenging an athlete to reach a particular goal, urged the new believers in Antioch to grow in grace while remaining true to their Savior. Verses 25 and 26. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Barnabas was mature and maturing, spiritually speaking, and knowledgeable, more than capable to teach these new Christians on his own. But he saw within himself, look, I need help in this. I need help. So the last part of Acts 11:24, connecting there with 25, provides an explanation. It says, I would translate that sentence there, and sufficient enough words were added to the Lord. Sufficient enough crowds were added to the Lord. So he went to Tarsus in search of Saul. Barnabas is wise. Barnabas is humble. Humble enough to recognize his limitations and wise enough to seek the best man that he knows to bring alongside him and to be able to share all the things that these brand new Christians need to know as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have learned as disciples ourselves, we just don't come on a Sunday morning or other days of the week and attend classes and absorb these things and do nothing about it. We come, we absorb these things, and we ask those three questions. Did I mention that on page one of the message notes? And that last question, what do we do about it as an individual? Am I going to share the gospel this coming week? You bet your sweet pippy I am. If I get the opportunity, I'm going to share. I'm on the lookout to share the gospel. You got somebody you want to hear? Bring them in. Bring them in. I'll ambush them. Yeah. Need to be encouragers. need to be encouragers. Barbara's going to have a surgery a week from tomorrow. We need to encourage her. She's going to go through this. It isn't going to be the funnest thing she's ever done. It's not going to be like her favorite dining out place. And it's going to bring a little bit of pain. But we're with her. We're praying with her. We love her. Even me, Barbara, love you. And that's what we're about. You know, Chris is going to have some major testing. And just a few days after Barbara goes in for her major surgery. And we're going to be there for them like we've been there for others of you as you've gone through these challenges, right? I see heads bobbing yes in the affirmative. Yes, yes. So sharing the gospel, being an encourager. Boy, if I have an opportunity to talk to men about pornography, that's one of men's biggest struggles. And not to condemn a man, to encourage a man. Away from it. Away from it. To love on those guys. I've been there. I've been there. I'm a man. But I don't go there. I haven't gone there for a long, long time. Not going back. Not going back. There are simple lessons right here in the text for us to take a hold of and apply in each of our lives. But what I love about Barnabas, he didn't send to Jerusalem and ask for a Hebrew scholar to come and meet with him and meet with these brand new Christians in Syrian Antioch. He goes 100 miles in another direction to Tarsus to find Saul, who's going to be becoming Paul not too long from now. But it's going to be at least a week because my time's done. So, get it? Good. All right. Let's pray, shall we? Our gracious Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be getting acquainted with this power that you've given us and to use it, but not for our glory, for yours, for your sons, for the Holy Spirit. So, Father, may you meet each of my brothers, each of my sisters in their deep personal experience time with you each day this coming week. And speak to them about looking for those divine opportunities to share their personal testimony with someone. Maybe they shared it before with them. Share it again. Share it with someone else if they have not shared their personal testimony with, that they may put a white rose up here or a red rose because you lead that person to faith in your wonderful Son. You bring them to salvation in Jesus. So, Father, we thank you for speaking to us this morning, speaking to us plainly, and we look forward to seeing trophies of your grace being baptized in water coming this afternoon, and then enjoying each other's company, enjoying those wonderful hamburgers and hot dogs and those fake hamburgers that some people bring. May you give them a special blessing. For I ask all these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.